did it, Carlo said. He really executed himself.
As it should be, said the prefect. He was back at the translator and had switched it to allow us to speak. Any honorable soldier of the Galactic would follow the law to its final endpoint. I sense you humans are not fully civilized. You're new to the Empire and still half wild. Do you at least have a sense of shame when faced by a true soldier?
Ha! Said Carlos. He's dead, and I'm not impressed.
I looked at him, and so did the prefect. Disgusting, said the Nairb. I saw something the alien couldn't, however. The Nairb couldn't read our facial expressions. Carlos's eyes lingered on the fallen Saurian, who we'd been struggling with so closely moments before. He was impressed. I could tell. I could understand that, the dedication the act took. There was no revival system to back him up. Nothing. Oddly, I thought that the revival units had made us less willing to die in most situations. Sure, if we were being burned to death or something, we'd rather a quick death than a revival. But we didn't relish the idea of giving our all for a concept. Repeated painful deaths quickly relieved a man of such lofty ideas. Still, I could not help but stare at the dead Saurian, who'd fought so powerfully and well. Really, he would have beaten both of us, but for his rigid belief in the legal system. I knew that Saurians weren't like us in many ways. Their lifespans burned shorter, and I think hotter, than ours did. People said they weren't that smart, not even the smaller raptor types like this one. But I'd been impressed by their capabilities. They'd had superior arms, and a relative handful of them had held us off at the spaceport for a long time today. The time came quickly for us to make our next move. We watched the walls, and we saw the first flash of silvery metal from a snap rifle. The front line of charging light troops were just reaching the compound walls and entering the open gates. We could see from our vantage point what was waiting for them. The Saurian heavy guardsmen had hunkered down, no longer taking shots from the walls. They opted to focus their weapons from covered positions, encircling the open gateway. The light troops that stormed in leading the charge were burned to ash in seconds from concentrated firepower. It had been hard to wait this long to act, very hard. But we both felt it was necessary. If we engaged the Saurians before that point, they would have known they were in a two-front firefight and would adjust their positions. Our biggest advantage, that of surprise, would be lost. So we let them burn down the first squad that charged triumphantly into the breach. I wondered if those troops believed the enemy had all been killed or had retreated. Why else had the gates finally opened? But instead of an easy victory, they were ambushed and killed to the last man. Now. It has to be now, I said, tapping at the wall. The door swept open. Even through my air-conditioned reflective suit, I could feel the heat of the two glaring stars overhead. I grabbed up the heavy weapon the Saurian had discarded. That was easier than going out to take a weapon from a fallen enemy, which had been our original plan. It also gave us time to figure out how to operate the captured weapon. I ran with it, essentially balancing the tube on my right shoulder. I was the taller and the stronger man. Carlos followed. He was going to be my gunner. I stepped out into the courtyard behind the ring of Saurians, who were all staring ahead at the light troops trying to get into the gate. The first wave had gone down, but the next was aiming their snap rifles around the walls and firing. This did nothing to the Saurians, who burned away gloved human hands and snap rifle barrels with eagerly probing beams of energy.
They seem to be enjoying themselves, Carlos said. Let's do this.
I went to my knees, balancing the heavy tube. It felt like I had an eye beam on my shoulder. Carlos swiveled to the right first, depressing the firing stud, and sent a blinding surge of energy into the Saurians on that flank. The effect was dramatic. Three of them were devoured within seconds. Their armor melted to slag, and their flesh merged with orange bubbling steel.
"Sweep it!" I shouted. "They're turning!" "They aren't going to fire,"
Carlos said confidently. I could not help but think that that part of his confidence stemmed from the fact he stood behind me. I would shield him from the first blast, at least. But most of his reasoning came from the fact we'd propped open the terminal door behind us. The Narbs were visible inside, directly behind our position. It didn't take a genius lizard to realize that if he fired upon us, the odds were very high indeed he'd hit a neutral alien and thus violate galactic law. So Carlos swept the beam over another knot of enemy and annihilated them. An officer rose up from their ranks and shouted orders. From his gestures alone, we could see what he was planning.
They'll pull back a squad and hit us from the side, Carlos said, while the rest keep firing at the troops coming in the front gates.
I think our next target has marked himself, I said. Carlos swiveled the cannon. I grunted with the shifting weight, trying to keep it steady. He unleashed another beam, and I was impressed by his accuracy. The officer was swept off his feet and turned into a sparkling mass of slag within seconds. Still, the damage had been done. The enemy was maneuvering in response to our attacks. They were moving to flank us.
Turn! Turn! Screamed Carlos. They're going left!
The big tube banged into my helmet. I saw what he wanted. Six of the enemy had jumped up and were racing away from their entrenched positions. They were going to take a safe firing position behind a heavy crawler with treads 3 meters high. From there, due to the angle, they could safely kill us without risking hitting the Narbs. I struggled to swivel the heavy gun without dropping it or losing my balance. I was on my knees, having taken to that position to provide a good gunnery mount to Carlos. It was hard to quickly rotate while on your knees with a huge weight crushing your shoulder. I already knew there was going to be a bruised indentation over my right clavicle for a week, given that I survived this battle, which seemed unlikely. I pitched forward under the weight of the tube and threw out one long arm to stop my fall. The other was curled around the tube, keeping it on my back.
Just fire from there!
I hadn't needed to give Carlos any encouragement. He pulled the trigger the second the tube was lined up with the Saurians. He came as close to killing me then as he ever had. I was pretty much down on all fours, and part of my helmet had gotten itself between the muzzle of the weapon and the enemy. The side of my helmet was on fire. A roaring sound rang in my ears. I thought I was hit, and in a way I was right.
Shit! Sorry, man!
Carlos said. I did my best to drop my head and get it out of the way.
Keep firing!
I shouted. The gun sang and trembled on my back. It felt strange, like getting a low-level electric shock. I could smell heat, burning plastic, and even cooked flesh now. There must be a hole in my helmet letting it all in. I held my breath in case it was a toxic brew. It wouldn't do to pass out at this point. Carlos was a good gunner. He did better than I could have, I think. He killed 3 of the lizards that were trying to flank us, and one more the second he came around the crawler to engage us. The battle sort of disintegrated after that. With their officer gone and rattled by having been hit from behind, the enemy didn't know what to do. They didn't keep enough fire on the front gates, and our people outside got smarter. They threw in plasma grenades, and blue flashes first outlined, then devoured the enemy. Another charging group of light troops came into the smoking ruins of the barricades that had been protecting defending Saurian troops a minute ago. I got to watch as my comrades swept over the last of them, got in close, and pulled them down with sheer weight of numbers. To their credit, the Saurians never called a retreat. These were dedicated foes. They fought until the last of them was pulled down and killed. I could see that our veterans were trying to get them to run or surrender. But these weren't wild, naked juggers running around in the jungle. They were heavily armed and trained regulars. They didn't run. They fought to the very last.
Chapter 21. My men improvised and broke the enemy defenses, Centurion Graves told Primus Turov calmly. I apologize on behalf of my entire unit if heroic actions don't meet with the approval of Legion Varus.
The Primus glared at him with narrowed eyes. Her mouth was a thin, lipless line of disapproval.
We're not discussing the Legion, nor are we discussing the battle, she said.
I could tell she was struggling to keep her cool. Her voice was even, but her face revealed the depths of her anger.
That's unfortunate, said Centurion Graves, because I have some questions about the tactics we employed during this operation.
Take your questions and suggestions directly to the Tribune. I'm sure he'll be interested in your sage advice.